And now, as promised, we are going to talk about sleep. We're asking you today, what's your trick for getting enough sleep? Do you think you get enough sleep? Are you a napper or are you an 8-hour sleeper? And the reason why we're bringing this up is because there's some research being done in the United Kingdom that suggests, although you may feel a little sleepy, you're not necessarily sleep deprived. Jim Horn is the director of the Sleep Research Center at Loughborough University in the UK, and he joins us from his home there. Good morning, Professor.
Good morning.
So explain the difference. If I'm feeling sleepy, how is that not sleep deprivation?
Well, it could be, but we all experience a little sleepiness in the day. It all depends where you are. If you're sitting in the afternoon doing very little in a comfortable chair, then you'll start feeling sleepy after 10 minutes. But if you're up and about, you won't. So to some extent, our sleepiness depends on the environment. In the same way, so does hunger. If you're busy and doing other things, you don't feel very hungry. But as soon as you pass a restaurant or smell the sight of food, you suddenly realize you're hungry. And so to some extent, our sleepiness depends on where we are. But in generally speaking, most people, if they're not sleepy when they're normally active in the day, apart from a bit of a dip in the afternoon and at bedtime, then the sleep they're getting is probably adequate. I think there's too many people worried about not getting enough sleep, and there's quite a bit of fear-mongering going on at the moment, especially in the UK, about the consequences of being suffering from sleep debt. And I think it's no worse than it was. And if you go back into the medical journals and magazines going back 100 years, even in America, you see people have been complaining about lack of sleep and sleeplessness, and potions for curing sleeplessness and insomnia have been with us for 2,000 years.
People potions? Did you say, wait a second, Professor, you said potions? Where would I get those?
Well, they were. We used to use laudanum, which was a mixture of alcohol and opium, which is very, very common in Europe up to about 100 years ago.
Huh. So essentially, you think that it's all a bunch of hooey.
I think the real issue is that many people who do have insomnia do worry about their sleep. And what I'm trying to say is that if you do have insomnia and you're not particularly sleepy in the day, then probably the sleep you're getting is adequate. It's not nice, I know, not sufficient. But then one of the problems is that people with insomnia often start worrying about not getting enough sleep and whether the lack of sleep is going to cause them damage or illness.
How much sleep are you talking about when you're talking about enough? Is it five hours or six hours or eight hours a night?
Well, the average amount of sleep most adults take in the UK is about 7 hours a night. So generally speaking, it's the quality also of sleep. It's not so much how much, but whether your sleep is restful and undisturbed. So you could have 10 hours of disturbed sleep if you've got children and noise around, and you still just feel just as bad after you had this 10 hours disturbed sleep as you were before you started. But if it's good quality sleep, uninterrupted sleep, then most people can function pretty well between 6 and 7.5 hours sleep a night. Most adults, that is.
Professor, what is the organic threshold that you cross when sleep goes from being, you know, something we might slide into if we're not distracted in a comfortable chair, as you say, to being overwhelming, where, like, every waking moment you're thinking about, could I put my head down there? Could I put my head down there? Could I put my head down there? Well, what's going on when it's overwhelming and you can't think of anything else but sleep?
Well, that is very often associated with a very, very disturbed sleep. And one of the causes, for example, is very heavy snoring. And although many people think snoring is a bit of a joke, but for some people it's very serious indeed, and their breathing is very obstructed, and the snoring is actually due to a momentary awakening during sleep in order to breathe properly. And that causes terrible sleep disturbance. And people with this, obstructive sleep apnea may appear to sleep quite contentedly for 10 hours a night, but still wake up very, very sleepy in the daytime. And it's overwhelming sleepiness, they're falling asleep all the time. As soon as they sit down and do very little, they fall asleep. And this is clearly something seriously wrong with their sleep. And even though they may be getting 10 hours of sleep, it might be very, very disturbed. On the other hand, if you sleep well, but only getting less than 5 hours a night, generally speaking, when you go below 5 hours per night, even though it might be quite good sleep, for most people that would mean they're going to be pretty sleepy throughout most of the day.
So when
and,
you...
and,
Go ahead, John.
What about a power nap? If you take a 10-minute power nap, what does that do to you that rejuvenates you? Why does that work?
That's very good. Well, we've done a lot of work on power naps, and if you have poor sleep or insufficient sleep at night, then a short ziz in the afternoon for about 15 minutes can be very refreshing indeed. It should be less than 20 minutes, because if you're not used to having a nap in the afternoon, if it goes beyond about 15 and 20 minutes, it converts into full-blown sleep. And if you wake up after having an hour of sleep in the afternoon and not used to it, you wake up feeling very groggy and thick-headed, as well like a sort of form of jet lag, so it's a bit counterproductive, but a quick 15-minute ziz, when sometimes you're not even sure you've been asleep but feel better afterwards, so that can be very refreshing.
That's great. Well, wake me up in 10 after, okay, Adora? I'm out. See you later. Bye, sweetie.
I'll wake you up. So, Professor, what's your advice then?
My advice about...
About sleeping. Don't worry about it. Get your 7 hours and you'll be fine.
Yes, I think the acid test of insufficient sleep is whether you are sleepy throughout most of the day, not just the dip in the afternoon and at bedtime. And if you are fairly alert, able to do your job pretty effectively in your home work at home or whatever throughout the rest of the day, then without falling asleep, then the sleep you're getting is adequate. And don't worry about it. I think people are worrying too much about sleep and listening too much to the media saying that if you don't get 8 hours sleep or whatever, you're going to go down some terrible illness. But of course, the worst thing can happen if you go without sleep. If you're very sleepy in the day, you'll have a sleep-related vehicle crash. And in the States, of course, this is a problem, people driving through the night with very, very little sleep.
And sleep deprivation, I mean, what does it do to your body when you truly are, when you truly do have that sleep debt?
Well, the sleep debt, when it gets very serious, the effect is much, much more on the brain than the body, as we know, that not only do you become sleepy, but even if you start taking, if you're very, very sleep-deprived, start taking coffee, for example, even though the sleepiness tends to disappear, your thinking is still affected. Your thinking is less, you tend to forget things more quickly, you tend to be more irritable, and also you're less able to deal with the novelty, the unexpected. You become more like a zombie, basically. The more sleep deprived you are, even though the coffee will make you stop you from falling asleep, but your brain can't think in an active way and respond to new things.
I think I've had that feeling a few times. Professor Jim Horn, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Professor Jim Horn of the Sleep Rescue Center at Loughborough University in the UK. Well, okay, John, we should stop worrying about it.
We should stop worrying about the facts. We're always on at the takeaway. We're always on. Always on.
And we're talking always about on. Sleep, and we're asking you for tips on how you find a good night's sleep or how you get a good night's sleep. Tell us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or drop us a note at mytake@thetakeaway.org. And here's a thought for your takeaway today.
This really does fit into the family of recessions, but with the declines we're seeing now, it's fitting more into the family of severe recessions.
That's Bob Bruska, chief economist for Fact and Opinion Economics, talking about whether the economic signs we're seeing point to a recession. We're also conducting America's exit poll. It's open here at The Takeaway. Check out our website, thetakeaway.org, to hear from other Takeaway listeners as the talk of campaign, when we're talking about campaign politics with Femi Oke. And call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE with the story on how you've made up your mind, or perhaps you're still undecided. We'd like to hear your story. I'm Adora Udoji.
And I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.
NYC Now delivers the most up-to-date local news from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. With 3 updates a day, listeners get breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from across New York City. By sponsoring programming like NYC Now, you'll reach our community of dedicated listeners with premium messaging in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to get in touch and find out more.